Oh, Father, we just thank you for your presence. Do you know, I don't know about you, but I just had this, just the sense of God's gentleness in the room. Just his gentle persuasion and wooing us for change, for healing. And just for some people that, I just believe God's, the healing process that you've been going through, he's going to close the door on that today. Maybe not for us all, but some, you know, man, I'm at the last page. The end is nearly there on that chapter or that book of your life. Today, I pray that you just hear the last page, the cover going, closing over, new book, new chapter in life. And Lord, we just thank you for your gentleness of an incredible Father who loves us dearly. I just thank you for your kindness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your loving hands. I thank you, Lord, that you know how to get us to the place where you need us to be, the places that we've prayed to be. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, the last couple of, I was thinking about this, you know, whole shaken and stirred type of thing. And it wouldn't be hard to look around the world. To look around the world and see that the world is shaken. But the reality is the world's always been shaken. It's just that we're alive in era. Like Gary Davison's mother-in-law got sick during the week, took a stroke, Wilma's mom. And she's 97 years of age. And Gary booked his flight to go back, and turns out old Miss Baker made a recovery. And I was thinking and talking to Gary, and I says, Gary, my goodness, that woman is seeing now two world wars. She's seen incredible, you know, amount of presidents come through America in those years. She's heard so much controversy, you know. And if you said to old Miss Baker, has the world always been shaken in your lifetime? She would tell you yes. Ask those who came through World War I, the Great Depression, World War II. It's just in the context of where we are today. We go, man, it's our era. In fact, the world's been shaken since the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Ever since the Garden, ever since the failure of Adam and Eve, the world has been shaken. But God sent the Son into the world to bring stability into those who would accept Him. There is going to come a time when the world will be made new. New heaven and a new earth with no shaking. But we live in a shaken world, and I think when we accept that, you know, shaking happens. Yeah? This country is seen shaking in the religious order, political order, financial order, education order. We've seen it. But a couple of months ago, a word came from the intercession room, and it was about that the Lord was bringing a shaking. What's that all about? What happens when God brings a shaking to His church? What happens when God brings a shaking to me personally? What is it all about? What does it mean? How should I respond to His shaking? And I think when you hear the word shaking, it nearly brings immediately a shaking from the Lord. It nearly brings immediately a negative with it. Ooh, shaking from God, man. That means judgment, punishment. What does it mean? It may even, in our experience, look negative or feel negative, but if it's shaken from the Lord, the outcome is always positive. It may look negative at the beginning, it may feel negative, but the outcome, because there's promises in God's Word. And apart from the promises of God's Word, God's nature is that He's always good. And if you establish that, you'll be able to go through anything in life. God is always the good guy. And he is never the bad guy. But the enemy, the devil, and he's real. He wants you to go, God, you're the bad guy. And what that does is it pulls people away from relationship with a kind, loving father who would do anything for his children. So what is the purpose, even if it looks and feels negative at the time, of going through the shaking? I was talking to Kieran Curtis during the week, and we were talking about this stuff. And this is how preachers get their sermons. You talk to people and they give you great ideas. And but resilient theory, resistant theory is not what it sounds like. You can ask him after, he's studying this stuff. But it's not to resist the shaking. It's to go with it. Because when you resist, you're like, and it hurts when you resist. Because like you have to get shaken until your body is nearly being limp and going, okay, if God is shaking me, it looks negative, it feels negative, but I'm going with him. Because I can trust him. Because his hands are kind. Amen. So the purpose of a godly shaking is not to bring punishment or judgment, but it's always to restore, to renew, to refresh something. It might be to restore a perspective, or to restore perspective of living, of life, of who he is, who you are. It might be to renew faith. It might be to refresh vision. It might be to cause us to focus on what is really important. It might be to remove sin. It might be to remove fear. It might be to remove negative, persistent thinking that always brings us down. It might be designed to shake off old things to gain new things. I know for me, in my shaking, it's to shake off an old anointing, an old cloak, so that God can put on a new one. It's designed, the shaking is designed to bring us out of the comfort zone, or out of living in the comfort zone, to a living before the throne. It's also designed for God to get deep truths into our hearts that will make us unshakable when things on the outside would say otherwise. So there's all types of reason, and personally we may know what God is trying to shake. A snake clung itself or wrapped itself around Paul's hand, and Paul shook it off. And a shaking might mean to take something off. Or equally, do you ever put stones into a bag and the bag seems full till you shake it? And then you realize there's room for more. So it could be to get something off or to get something in. Whatever which way, it is always has a positive outcome. What form does a shaking come in? Whole lots of forms. In many different ways, in many different shapes. It can come in the form of a trial, a testing time. It can come in a time, in a form when God hides his presence from us. And it's not hiding from us, it's actually hiding for us to find him in a new way. Graham Cook said, how can God hide from us when he lives in us? But somehow he clouds himself. So God, are you gone? It can come in the form of a person or a people who irritate you. Because God uses people to bring a bit of a shaking. I was talking to someone during the week, they said, but that person irritates the life out of me. And you know what they said then? Well, maybe God is trying to take something out of me. And it's not that person at all. And we look at the person that's being used in the shaking and we say, get rid of them. And the shaking's over. It's not over. It's just another one of those people around the corner. And when God brings a shaking, it's intense. That's why he feels negative at the time, because it's intense, because he wants to do a work. If you go to a surgeon to get something done with your insides, it's an intense couple of hours to get you well. Who likes getting cut open? Nobody. It's intense under anesthetic. It's intense in the recuperation process. But the purpose of it is that you come out a better, healthier person. It may be a financial issue. It may be that there's no seemingly provision coming for you at the time. It may be for others a weakened anointing. You go, man, this is not happening the way it used to. It's not moving off me the way it used to, Lord. It seems like it's getting thinner and thinner. That's because when the shaking comes, it falls off you. So God can put a new weight of his glory on top of you. And it feels heavy again, and it feels like I can raise the dead. And the thin anointing, it's like, it's for yesterday and yesteryear. And God's like, no, I want to do something, son. But the only way to get it off you is to shake it. Because we don't give up these things willingly. And he's not one of these fathers, like, if you put into Google, like, shaking. All these pictures come up of that dreadful things that have happened to babies when people have shook them and they've got brain damage or worse, died. He's not an angry father that grabs you and shakes you like that. He doesn't shake us out of anger. He doesn't shake us out of a judgmental heart. But out of a kind and loving heart. And sometimes the shaking is to let you see that he is a kind father. Because your perception and perspective of him is wrong. And I pray, Lord, that you break every deceptive lie this day that would cause us to look at you in the wrong light, Lord. Amen. So they come in all shapes and sizes, but what should be some of our response to a shaking? I'm still trying to work through the whole thing of what God said about he's bringing increase. And there's principles of increase. And one of the principles of increase, our response to the shaking will determine the measure that God can get to us. So our response to what God is doing individually and corporately is very, very important. Because if he's trying to get something into us and we're running from the shaking, you've just topped yourself off and that's how much you'll grow. So what should be our response? And what is some of the responses that we have? Many Christians all over the world do not believe that in God's goodness. We don't know whether we believe this or not because when we're going through good times, we know the deep truths that is in us when we're going through the hard times. When everything around us looks different, and God wants to get deep truths into us so that no matter what happens on the outside, we know he's good. And when people don't know that God is good, we run from trials. We approach a shaking in the wrong way. We see it as punishment, or that the Lord doesn't care about us anymore. So as a result, we have a wrong perspective of who God really is. And at times his children's response to him is far from the right one. When some of us go through shaking, we retreat. We back up. Because we don't believe there's going to be a positive outcome. We don't believe that God is really good. And other things on the outside is dictating to us about his nature and his character. Some of us live in fear. What if he doesn't come true? What if this doesn't get healed? What if this doesn't change? Wrong perspective of God. Some of us disengage with God. We can go to work, we can go to church, we can be with Christians, but we're not talking. I'll tell you why I'm saying all this. I've done every one of them. I go to church, I lift my hands with safety in numbers. I get me on my own, and he wants to speak to me. I go, oh, I don't want to hear that. Because I'm not fully trusting him. We stop coming to church. If I can just drown out all my brothers and sisters, I'll drown out the shaking. Some go to other churches. They think that's the answer. Well, maybe if I go there, they're not speaking, or God is not doing the same thing, which is right. Because in every house, God is doing something where they're at in their level of where they're at with God. So we go to houses that God is doing something else in to run away from the shaking of God, but you've just stopped your growth process. You're running from yourself. You're running from freedom. You're running from hope. You're running from your destiny. That's not the answer to disengage with God. And in fact, Jonah, it's wrong for you to be going to other places. Because sometimes, like the boat with Jonah, God shakes everything to get at you because there might be a city that's going to be reached inside of you. There might be a missionary field that's never been broken into inside of you. And that's what God done with Jonah. He shook the whole boat and they said, there's someone on this boat that's running from the shaking of God. So God shook everything. Why? Because a city called Nineveh was wrapped up inside of this man. God says, I'm shaking it all. So if you're not in your right boat, get over and get back and seek God. Some decide to live with the tension of knowing that the Lord has more for them, but will not allow the shaking and the process of maturity to happen. And you hear a message like this, and you're feeling bad. Oh, why didn't they just keep singing those songs? You'd rather live with the tension of being irritated, going to church, or stop going to church, than to say, okay, Heavenly Father, who's kind and generous and good in every way, I'll give her over to you. Some would rather stay stuck than be awestruck by the transformation process of God. It might look negative, it might feel negative, but the outcome is positive. And just this way, I can tell you, I've engaged with all those other things. I've also engaged with God's healing, love, and kindness. And there's nothing like it. There's absolutely no substitute for freedom that comes in God. So let's take a look at one of the Psalms. David went through a shaking. He was on the run. He was called by God. He was on the run from the king who he was going to succeed. But the king got jealous, and he wasn't just the king. He was actually David's father in the faith. Not his natural dad, but the father in the faith that released him in to do what God had for him to do. And now this same father was trying to stick spears in him and hang him from a rope. And David went on the run. And when you read the Psalms and you go into the background of the Psalms, you read some stuff and you go, well, it's well for David. He was the king in the palace. But in these instances, he was in a cave, getting hunted like an animal. And he writes some of the stuff because he had to make decisions in his life. I'm going through a shaking, but what should my response be? Should it be all the ones that I read out, or should our response be something what David would show us in his life? And if David said something in the Psalms, like he says something, I will not fear. He's making a declaration because fear is present. If he says, my desire, in Psalm 27, he says, my desire, Lord, is that I go up to the house of the Lord. He's saying that because there's a real pull on him not to go up to the house of the Lord. So when I say the temptation is there just to disengage with church and disengage with God's people, it's real. But David made decisions in his life. I will not do that. My desire is that I go to the house of God. My desire is that I don't live out of fear. My desire is that even though this man and wicked people are coming against me, I will stand firm in the goodness of God. Is it easy? No. When he says, I am confident in the Lord, it means that there's doubt present that would try to rob him from being confident. So when David says something, it's not him. He's not a... saying it because everything is well, it's because it's present. It's because it's real. It's because it's trying to attach itself to him, and he knows if I respond to the shaking this way, it's going to be of no value into my life. And another piece of good advice is, when you're going through a shaking, don't fall into the victim with your father and say, why me? Do you ever say why to God? Why is this happening to me? Was the little baby crying over there and you were like, I don't want to, just earlier on. Paul Martin. I don't want to, and we can be like that with our Father. Why me? Why freedom for me? Why do you want to heal me? In my relationship with God, it's 22 years old. I never once did he answer, why me? Never once, because it's victim. Because it's victim, implying that you're not good. Implies, it lets out what's on the inside. I don't really know your goodness. Why is this me? You say that when you're a victim. Why did they rob my house? Why did they speak against me? It's always an accusing voice. It's always an accusing situation. Job goes before God. Well, Job's friends have said to him, Job lost everything. Read Job if you ever have a month. You're not doing nothing. Everything. Everything. And never once did he doubt God's goodness. People would come, Job, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned. Here, get it over with. Curse God and get over it. You have to be careful who you're listening to. Because someone could be distracting you that's going through a shaking, and they'll distract you out of your shaking. And you'll wonder why you're never growing in God. And they were saying, God, why is God doing this? And they were trying to put a victim mentality on Job. They were trying to put a cloak on him that wasn't his. Why is this happening to you, Job? You're a good man. Did you sin? No, I didn't. Why is this happening then? And God knew what was going on. And in Job 38, it says, the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Who is this that would question my goodness and they've no knowledge of my goodness? Who is this that would say, get out of the shaking, and they've no knowledge of the shaking that God is doing in your life? Who is this that would say, get out of this, move out of this, go here, go there, do this, do that, be distracted from the shaking? Who is this that would darken my counsel without knowledge? It usually comes in forms of friends. Because they don't know what you need on the inside. And listen to the way God answers them. He says, brace yourself like a man. How does a man brace himself? I will question you, and you shall answer me. He says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. Surely you know who stretched a measuring line across the earth. On what were its footings, or who laid its cornerstone? Job, who shut up the sea behind doors? There's a couple of other things. And have you ever given orders to the morning? Or shown the dawn its place? Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? He goes on to say, have you ever entered the storehouses of snow, or the storehouses of hail? He goes on to say, where were you when the deer was given birth? And if I was Job, I'd be thinking, what in the world has all that got to do with my situation? Know what God is saying? I'm not answering that. But what I will tell you, Job, is I'm great. And I made the earth. And I have everything in hand. And I am big and strong and mighty. He says, I'm not going to answer the accusing why, but I'm going to tell you who I am, so the deep truth of who I am will sustain you, so that you can go back to your friends and you can say, I don't know what's going on, but I know this, my Redeemer lives. And my life is in his hands. And I don't understand all of the shaking that's going on, but I understand and have knowledge of one thing, who my God is. And Job got it, and he shut all his friends off. Because they were talking out of ignorance. Be careful who you talk to going into a shaking. Never ask a why of God, but ask him, what is this, Lord? What does this mean? And what should I do about it? That's not why me? Barking at the moon or something. Why me? Why am I only 5 foot, Lord? You can tell I've been there. Why can't I dance like Stephen Geraghty? God never answers voice. And you can tell me whoever's worked with God, has he ever answered it? But in Acts, there was something incredible going on, a shaking. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter got up to preach and the people said, what is this? And what shall we do about it? The answer is never why. The question is never why. It's like, Lord, what is this? Because why takes you away from relationship. But what is this pushes you into relationship. Because you're waiting on an answer. And what does it mean? Means I'm ready for action, Lord. So in Psalm 9, here's some of the things David did. He was shaken, yeah? But he made his shaking become something that stirred him up. He allowed his shaking not to be something that would push him away from God, but would actually cause him to enter into the things of God. And he says this in Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing and praise your name, O Most High. He took the opportunity, even though everything around him was falling apart in the natural sense. He says, of an ironclad will. And this is where we have to get to be spiritual warriors and spiritually healthy. That I will praise the Lord with all of my heart. I will give thanks. It's not saying when everything's right, I will give thanks. He's saying, I'm making a decision in a cave when my enemy is running against me. I'm making a decision. I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. He was saying, I'm not going to be dictated to what's on the outside. I'm going to be dictated to from what's on the inside. He took the opportunity, not to practice what he believed in, but he took the opportunity to practice who he believed in. That was a good one. He made an iron will decision, cold-blooded. Saul's against me. My mom and dad, I had to let them live with the priests. I had to send them down to a place where I want to protect them. I've been chased, harassed. I've been living out of caves. I've had to go down and beg for food off people. I've had to allow myself in front of the Philistines to pretend to be insane. Lord, I don't know what's really going on, but I know this. I will give thanks with all of my heart. If he came into our church, we go, he's off his head. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. He was saying, during this shaking, I'm going to become a man of God. During this shaking, I'm going to declare, I'm going to determine that I will give thanks to you, O God. I will thank you for the sunrise. I will thank you for the breeze that blows past me in the desert, Lord. I will thank you for the safety of the cave. I will thank you for the food that did come my way. I will thank you for the men that's around me that stand with me, Lord. I will thank you for the friends you put in my life. He has loads of things to thank God for. I thank you, Lord, that you called me out of my 7 brothers. You called me. You put me up on the hill. You were with me when the bear came. You were with me when the lion came. I thank you, Lord, that you've always looked at me. I thank you, Lord, when I look up at the expanse of the sky and I see the stars and all its constellations. Lord, something inside me just says, thank you, Lord. There's something inside me that says, God, you're my Savior. That the God who rescued me out of the lion and the bear is the same God that will rescue me out of this. So I'm giving you thanks in advance. And I tell you this, the enemy couldn't get at him in his low place. And if the enemy can't get at us in our low place, he can't get at us in any place. If he can't get us when we're on the ground, he won't get us when we're up on the mountaintop. And David was at the low place and he says, I'm going to tell you, I will. I will give thanks. I will tell of his wonders. You know what this does? When you do them, I will give thanks. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing your praises, O Most High. It pushes you to majesty. It pushes you to him. It pushes you to look up. It pushes you to be thinking about what he has done and the wonderful deeds that he's done and the songs and the rejoicing. And when you start looking at him, something changes within. When you start looking at your circumstances, you're snookered. But when you look to him and out of majesty, you start looking at your problems different. Out of majesty, you look at your shaking different. Out of magnificence of who he is and the splendor of his holiness and the beauty of his grace and mercy, you look at your problems. What would you say to your problems if you're after being in the throne room? What would you say to the shaking after being with God? You wouldn't be depressed. You wouldn't be negative. That we'd be like, no, look, I'm quietly confident in God. I might be dancing around the place like, oh, I'm getting bits, but I'm going to do a cartwheel. It mightn't be that. So I'm not saying that. But I'm quietly confident. I won't let Job's mates or my circumstance determine how I speak. Do you know my car's being broke down? And for the last 2 months, it's off the road, it's gone, it was a horse to be put down. But I've determined in my heart that I'm going to live from the inside out. Because every time you live from the outside, things that can be eaten up or broken down robs you of your peace and who you are. And I determined this in my heart, and ever since, that everything I have has gone kaputs. Kaputs is the Belarusian word for broke. Car kaputs. My phone this week kaputs. Sharon was hoovering, the hoover kaputs. But you know what? You pull it all back in. You say, Lord, I will give thanks. And you know what's being gas? People are more upset about my car off the road than I am. Is it an irritant? Yes. Do I need a car? Of course. Have I got a loan of a car? Of course. Has people knocked on my door and handed keys into my house? You can have that for 3 days, 4 days. 2 months I've never been without a car. 1 day, 1 hour. But people have come, oh, where's your car? Look, I'm grateful for people caring. But if it's going to cause me to live from the outside in, I'm telling you, I don't care. I want to sort it. I have to get it sorted. But David was saying something like this. And what I'm saying is, somehow this stuff gets tested. But I tell you, you live out of a different place in God and in the Holy Spirit. You live out of hating them because you're not dictating the car, the phone, the Hoover. The Hoover's the worst thing that's gone apart in the phone or the car. We have to hoover the carpet. That's my job in the house. Sabotage. I stuck a screwdriver in it. We know. That's how often I hoover that house. I'm blowing up the whole thing. When we make a breakthrough, and when we break through the barriers of our emotion and make decisions out of our will to live out of the I will statements, every circumstance will be faced by you and me like spiritual warriors. Is it easy? No way. Is it possible? Every way. Is it possible? Every way, every way, every day. If we determine, no, I will. Do I have to wake up every morning and say, I will rejoice? Sometimes the Lord leaves us in our problems until we hate it enough to get rid of it. Some of us get rid of it for a time and we live out of a position of God help me, God help me, God help me. And it's all event-driven Christianity. That I only go to God when something's wrong. I only build a relationship with Him when something is wrong. And usually when I live in that type of life, the quality of my praise or of your praise or rejoicing or thanksgiving or conversation in the Lord is runs low in terms of lifestyle. See, this has to become something that we are, not just something that we do. When David went out to face Goliath, you know why he was so confident? He knew who God was. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't just something, oh, there's a giant. I better get praying now. Oh, I haven't gone to talk to Jesus in about 6 months, and now I face a giant. Oh, Jesus, will you please get rid of the giant? That's event-driven Christianity. And it never allows us to have a quality life of praise and adoration and worship and thanksgiving unto God, because we only go from one disaster to the next. And growth never happens that way. Growing in God, never. It has to be a posture that no matter what happens, my posture that I live in is that God is good. And that my lifestyle and my prayer and my prayers will always be the expression of that God is good. Faith, it comes out of majesty. Faith comes out of looking at Him. And then as we've been with Him and glorifying Him, faith enters our heart, because faith is a royal perspective of everything. Faith brings us in. When we're after being in majesty, we look at our circumstances through a new set of eyes with a new perspective when we hang around the throne room. But if we have a one-night stand mentality with Jesus, we won't grow. And if you've thought why I haven't grown, just check your relationship. Check what you've done in the middle of the shake. And just go back. He's a great God. Faith has a royal perspective because it keeps company with a king. And I'll finish with this. A royal outcomes come from throne living. It's out of an intimate relationship and not a formal one. Time spent with Jesus means that His ways of thinking and looking at things becomes our way of thinking and looking at things. Because if you hang around someone long enough, it just moves into your own life. Hang around with wise, you become wise. That's what the Bible says. Hang around with a fool, you work it out. So David says, I will, I will, I will, I will. And listen to this beautiful psalm that I found. It's one of our favorites. Psalm 91. When you say, I will, is it coming up there? Fair play to you. Here's a solid response. I will praise you. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing to your name, O High. When we say, I will, and do, I will, I will, I will, God has a response to us. And His response is His will for our lives. Psalm 91. No, it's not there. God says, because He loves me, said the Lord, I will rescue him. Because He loves me, I will protect them. Because He loves me, when He calls upon my name, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. It's like when we determine, look at the role of increase. That when we say, I will, I will, I will, God is in heaven saying, I will. I will. No, Lord, I will. No, you, I will. No, I will. And that His will is the one, is the will that is done. In the circumstance, in the situation, in the shaking. Look what He says, I will rescue you. I will protect you. You don't have to be afraid. He says, I'll protect you. I will rescue you. I will answer you. I will be with you. I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will satisfy you. I will show you my salvation. So when we do the I will, it opens up the windows of heaven for God to say, no, I will. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we praise you for your goodness and your kindness. And Lord, we just say today, would you put steel in our hearts? That Lord, during whatever shaking's going on, Father, will you get it over quick and cause us to have a quick response? Because Lord, we want to be people like David, who says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will rejoice and be glad. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Lord, put that deep in us now. Put that deep in us, Lord. That, Lord, when we look to you and out of majesty, a response to our situation will be different. What would you say to your situation right now if you were just after coming from the throne room? If you just came from God, what would you say to your circumstance? If you just came from God, what would you say to your shaking? We love you, Lord. Now, guys, I know this is a very emotive type of talk and situation. But I always believe in people giving a response to God's word. Why would I tell you this stuff and never give you a chance to respond? And the response this morning is pretty cold-hearted. Iron-willed. As cold as the leg on the chair that you're sitting on. That you decide today, if you want. I look around, Lord, and I see all that's shaking. I see what you're doing in my heart, Lord. And the best prayer to that is, I surrender. I see what goes on in my world. But Lord, I want to make a decision today. I will, oh God. You fill in the blank. I will stay steadfast. I will stay contributing. I will stay faithful. I will not run away. I will give thanks. I will encourage others. Whatever the I will is, I will go through the process. I will not look at you in any other light than what is true. That you are good all the time. And Lord, I will determine, not by emotion, not by clever PowerPoints, but I make a decision today out of that coldness. I will follow you. I will keep going. I will go through the process. And if that's you, and you want to make that decision, I just want to give you a chance to respond to that. And if the worship team could come back, unless you need to stand up before I say this, but listen, this is what it is. Just say, by standing up, you're saying, I will. Whatever that is between you and the Lord. So it's cold. It's not someone laying hands on you and praying and encouraging you. It's just this cold declaration. Like in a cave with no central heating, no music playing, no worship on. Oh, I will, oh God, I will. I'm making my decision today. I will. I will come back. I've been disengaging with you, Lord. I will engage with you. I will engage with my brothers and sisters. I will stay rooted in the house of the Lord. I love that picture of the tree getting shaken. But it's not moving anywhere because its roots are deep. Determine that your roots are going to be deep in the house of the Lord. Because his goal is to grow you into an oak of righteousness. To display his splendor. That's the song, okay, Rob. And you know, in all of this song, and the last line, or the last slide, you've seen those beautiful tulips. And you can see them shaking. It doesn't make them any less beautiful. So Lord, here we are. Now Lord, out of your goodness and out of your throne, these guys are saying, I will. Now Lord, would you release your I will into our lives? Would you release your I will, Lord, into our lives this day as we determine I will. Now, Lord, would you release yours, your rescue, your honoring, your hearing and answering. You release it, Lord. Your healing, your deliverance. You release your will, O God, into our lives. So here's an opportunity to make this a declaration in our lives again, and also to reach up to majesty and to gain a perspective of who God is.